You're listening to the Affiliate Marketing Podcast, brought to you by AffiverseMedia.com, the chapter and verse of everything you need to know about running a successful affiliate program for your business. This is a podcast for digital and affiliate marketers, publishers, networks, agencies, and MarTech providers who operate, support, or manage affiliate marketing programs around the globe. If you want to launch, scale, and grow a successful affiliate marketing program, you're in the right place. In this podcast, you'll learn how affiliate and partner marketing is constantly changing and tune in to industry experts who are getting behind our mic to share tactical insights and practical knowledge to help your affiliate program grow. Here, you'll discover what's new and trending in affiliate and performance marketing, how to run your affiliate program successfully, and gain industry insights from experts and practitioners from around the globe. The truth is, you simply won't find this information anywhere else. Now, here's your award-winning affiliate and performance marketing host, an industry veteran, your affiliate marketing guide, and the founder of Affiverse, Leanne Johnston.
Welcome to the Affiliate Marketing Podcast with me, your host, Leanne Johnston. And I'm going to be talking to affiliate managers today. And joining me are two people that I've known for a very long time who are extremely experienced in the iGaming industry and outside of it as well. Emily Lieb and Claire Adamo, who are on this podcast with me this week to talk about affiliate manager burnout. And before I go any further, I'd like each of you to introduce your good selves and tell our audience a little bit about who you are, how you came into the industry, and why you now work with burnt out affiliate managers and business owners around the globe. So who wants to go first?
I'll take it. Okay, amazing. So I'm Claire Adamu, and I am the owner of iGaming XL, which is an affiliate manager management agency. I've had that now for about 6-7 years, so which gives me the freedom to kind of work with multiple people on both sides of the fence, which I absolutely love. And recently, I joined with Emily, who will introduce herself, and Soroka officially. But I joined with Soroka as their VP of development because life coaching, business management, development, emotional well-being, all of that is so important to me. Mentoring others in the industry, you name it, all of that has been such a massive part of my world for such a long time that I was so proud when Emily asked me to join Soroka and be VP of development. So that's me in a nutshell, and I'll hand over to Emily.
Well, Leanne, thank you so much for having us today, and hello to all of your listeners out there. My name is Emily Haruko Lieb. I'm the CEO at Soroka, and Soroka is a management consulting firm that specializes in the tech and specifically iGaming industry, bringing leadership development for individuals and organizations. I joined iGaming in 2009, likely met the two of you, and I was in the industry for about 4 years before getting pregnant and not being able to travel in the way that I used to in my previous iGaming role. I was on the media side, so was one of the individuals that started former gaming news website, Calvinaire. I left the industry and honed my skill as a leadership and life coach over the last decade, with many of my clients coming from the gaming space, working on everything from joy, fulfillment, to burnout, leadership, delegation, decision-making, cultural optimization, you name it, where there's a gap in an industry or in an organization where we can fill that gap with a combination of soft and hard skills. We love to provide that opportunity to fill that gap for our clients. And we started Soroka just over a year ago now, and really taking the reputation that I had as a coach within the gaming industry to the next level and doing more and more work with organizations and teams.
Amazing to have you ladies here. Both of you come from a wealth of experience, and I'm really grateful to have your time today. The topic that I wanted to get us all discussing, which is all kind of close to all of our hearts, because we have mentored and taught a lot of affiliate managers in this industry. We ourselves have worked in this industry, and we know how 24/7 it can be. Like, the internet never sleeps, right? It's on all the time. Let's maybe kick off and start talking a little bit about what burnout is, because it could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, depending on, you know, where they're at in their career and their kind of work-life journey. So don't know if you want to kick off and just talk about what are the typical signs of burnout and how do you know that might be what's happening to you?
Sure. So when we look at when we're thriving in life or in the workplace, it's usually that what's present is a combination of both passion and motivation. So when we're enrolled and we're empowered and we're engaged, we can feel passionate about what we're doing. We're inspired to show up every day and we're motivated to get the job done. What happens when one or both of those things become exhausted is typically when we will start to see some appreciable signs of burnout. Another framework that I want to suggest that people look through when assessing whether or not they are burning out or if someone on the team is burning out, there's a gentleman by the name of Gay Hendricks, and he wrote a book called The Big Leap. And he talks about four zones of flow. And the four zones of flow are the zone of incompetence. So these are things that you don't really like doing and you're not very good at them. The zone of competence, which are things that you're good at, but you don't particularly enjoy. The zone of excellence, which is things that you're good at and you enjoy that. And then there's our zone of genius. And that's the things that you're good at. You enjoy doing them. And there's a healthy level of challenge involved that keeps you engaged, learning, and growing. When our role consists too much of activities or tasks that fall into our individual zone of incompetence or competence, that's a recipe for burnout. And that's where our passion and our motivation will often subside. And this is also where you might see some really high performers or overachievers, and you wonder, how do they get done what they can do in a day? And it's often because they're going to be operating predominantly in their zone of genius and or their zone of excellence. So it's really important that we get the right people in the right roles as it pertains to their skill set and their passions and what they're interested in. So if you want to talk about just some appreciable signs of burnout, here are some of the four main thought patterns or processes that somebody might be having. One is, I can't do this anymore, even though I want to. So maybe they're engaged, but they just simply do not have the energy. Then they might look at, or you might experience something in the domain of, I can't do this anymore, and I don't want to. And then we get into, you know, nothing that I do matters. I don't have skills or resources to support me. I don't make a difference. And really at its worst, we might be considering, what am I even working for, right? This organization or this team only exists for the benefit of its executives or the bottom line. That's a bit of a framework of how we would start to see some of the appreciable signs from our perspective. This is what we look at.
I mean, everything that you're saying is resonating to me now. If I be swing between one of those at least four times a day, I'm pretty sure that every other affiliate manager listening to this call or listening to this podcast feels the same way. And why is it important to A1 recognize it? And we, especially for heads of affiliates that are running teams or even networks or agencies that are running teams of account managers, what is the first step other than calling in an external coach to come in and have a look at how your team is functioning? But what is the first step to actually kind of support your team so that they don't burn out? Because what I'm seeing from my side of the industry at the moment is that affiliate managers are coming in fast because the industry is growing so quickly and they're actually burning out faster, or they're skipping out of the industry after 2 or 3 years experience because the level of growth and self-development that's required to maintain your skill set in an affiliate manager role it's ludicrous. And I have people, I mean, I've been in this industry 20 years, and I have people asking me, how do you keep up with what's happening in the world around you? The truth is that I've got an absolutely awesome team that I can delegate to, and that allows me to have the time that I need in order to become an industry specialist. But most affiliate managers, and Claire, you can speak to this, you're busy, you know, building the plane and flying it at the same time. You don't have the time to kind of invest in your self-development and learning. So how do we help people to kind of recognize that this is happening in their teams if they are leaders? And then what steps can you suggest that they sort of start to implement, even at a small scale, to prevent this affiliate manager burnout? And I want to call it a pandemic that we're actually seeing in the industry.
I think that's fair. There's an assessment I want to take you guys through.
Okay.
I really want to invite Claire to share a little bit about what happens when we don't address this.
Lay it on.
Yeah.
Let's talk honestly and vulnerably with everybody that's listening.
It really is. And I've been in the industry almost, well, as long as both of you ladies. So I joined in 2006 with no gaming experience and completely thrown in, you know, all guns blazing. And it really was, I don't want to say a sink or swim, but I always think of this industry like Marmite. You are the lucky
number, don't hate it.
Yeah, because it's so fast paced and it really is work hard, play hard. The conferences are great for business and boosting your career and boosting the net, you know, the connections that you make, and therefore the ability to do sales, which affiliate management is sales ultimately, and it's based on the relationships you build. And there is so much competition now and the pressure to succeed, right, and deliver results consistently. And I think one of the things, and Emily will go through the burnout, but one of the things just that I learned along my journey was asking for help and playing to your skills, because I would never ask for help. And I led a team, I ran an affiliate management agency for 10 years, and I led a team predominantly of men. And I remember the first time I heard a woman, she went, "Are you okay?" And I just interjected, because none of the men had ever asked me if I was okay before. And I used to sleep with my BlackBerry under the pillow. I used to be the first one online, the last one online. I would, you know, make sure everybody else is taken care of, make sure that the results that are in, make sure that I'm reporting to the clients, you know, make sure the cogs are turning for the business and that every month we were growing. And back in this was probably 15 years ago, I was doing that. I started doing that. And I've got two stories about how it's negatively affecting me, all the stress and the burnout. And giving everything I had, and I had two very small children. I was fired to run that business when I was 5 months pregnant, and I had maybe 2 weeks off on maternity leave, and then I went back to work with my child on the desk, like bouncing them in a rocker. And it was the pressure that I felt to continuously deliver. I got really bad arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, and it's triggered by stress. So it's the lack of sleep. It's, yeah, this constant pressure. And it's the pressure at work and the mum guilt and not listening to my body when I'm tired, and it's not listening when I need to take a rest, and it's not asking for help. It's having that I can do it all because I should do it all. And to ask for help is a sign of weakness, right? It's a sign that I don't know what I'm doing. And it's really not. Actually, I think asking for help is something to be really proud of. And I never did. I just continued to go to the point that I was in a really bad place. I couldn't drive the car. I couldn't get in the car to drive it. I couldn't get down the stairs. I couldn't carry my children. If I was on the floor, I couldn't get up. And so I really, yeah, it really negatively affected my health so badly that I had to start slowing down. I had no choice. Physically, my body's like, we're going to force you to slow down because nothing else is working. So I did try. I stopped sleeping with the BlackBerry under the pillow, which is, you know, cute day now. I'd be an old very bent. Yeah. Stop sleeping with it under the pillow. I realized that, you know, if there's an urgent problem, someone's going to call me. They're not going to send me an email. They're going to call me. And if the phone doesn't ring, it can wait until tomorrow. And it's really, it was a big lesson because I am so conscientious and I don't like letting people down, that it really took a long time for me to be okay to do that. And actually the world kept turning and the business still kept making money. So I was like, okay, you know, I kind of learned to relax just a little bit. And as long as every month we showed growth, I actually was able to travel with my family and not work all around the clock and things like that. So that worked. And then I overcome that, or I never overcome it. It's an autoimmune disease, but yeah. I got it under control, got it into remission, and everything was fine for a really long time. And then I started running my own business, which of course this comes the extra pressure. We bought a bigger home. I got remarried. So we have 4 kids. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on, as well as that pressure to always succeed and continue to grow, because I have, you know, mouths to feed and bills to pay. And I just kept taking on more and more clients. And so I didn't have an assistant actually. So I just worked more hours. And instead of working smarter and playing on my skills, like we talked about, Leanne, you have a great team around you where you can delegate. I felt like I was like, well, the more money I make, the better it is for my family as well. But actually, the more pressure I put on myself. So I started working insane hours, as well as trying to run my family. And I was in college as well, doing my final diploma for life coaching. So that was 5 hours of college every week, plus all of the assignments, plus my life coaching clients that I had and my own life coaching sessions. It was insane. I was on the go last year, probably at the start of last year, probably 18 hours a day. I was on the go. And one day I was taking the kids to school and my eye was blurry. And I just thought I was getting a migraine. I'm like, this is really weird. My eyes, you know, just fuzzy. And the more the hours went on, the fuzzier it was and the blurrier it was. And I started to worry. I took some painkillers, wasn't going, and I started to worry. And then I called my friend and she said, that's not sound right. So by the time I went to the hospital, I think maybe 10 hours later, from when it was blurry to when I went to the hospital, I couldn't see my hand at the side of my face. And I couldn't see, if I'm sitting in a chair, I couldn't see my leg. So I couldn't see anything down below. And the hospital said, oh, it's, you know, let's just do some tests, but it's fine. As long as you can see down, it's fine. And I said, well, I can't see anything down. I can't even see the door that I walked in. And they thought I was having a stroke.
Definitely sounds like it. Yeah.
Within 24 hours, I was totally blind in that way, completely blind. They gave me a ton of drugs. They tested me for lupus. They tested me for a stroke. They tested me for MS. And it took almost a month for me to regain my vision. And I remember my best friend said, Claire, this is your body and the universe telling you to stop. You cannot sustain this level of life that's been going for 12 months. This is your body forcing you to stop. And ultimately, they came to the conclusion that it was stress-driven. And so physically, it took me a month to recover. And the month after that, I had a severe anxiety, like social anxiety. I didn't want to go out anywhere. I was anxious because more the work had built up. So then every time I opened Skype, I just didn't open Skype for a couple of months, which I knew had the fear of negatively affecting my business.
But and your relationships as well, because
the relationships,
as you said, in this industry, everything is very personally driven. Like your account management team has personal relationships with your partners. They speed dial on WhatsApp, on Skype, and all of these instant access channels, which only then adds to the stress if you're feeling burnt out, you know?
Yeah, completely. And it really took me a long time to kind of get back to normal mentally, even after the physical side was fixed, the mental side of that, of everything that I went through, and then thinking, you know, at 31 having a stroke was so... It caused me so almost like a mental trauma and so much anxiety. And I thought, I cannot, my dad had a heart attack at 50. And I thought, I cannot go down this road. My career is really important to me and my reputation in the industry is important to me. And I love, love, love what I do, but not if it's going to send me to the
end,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I really had to pay attention when I came back and put boundaries in place for that. And you know what? When I started communicating back through Skype again, and I'd put a little post on Facebook. So my very close-knit community in the industry knew what was going on. But when I started communicating back, you know what? It had been 2-3 months, 4 months maybe for some of them that I hadn't replied to. 3-1 was amazing. Everyone. And they were like, Claire, it's fine. It's okay that you were gone. It's okay that you didn't reply. Let's just take care of it now. And the relief, you know, because I'd built up such fear. Like you say, it's all relationship built. But actually, I built almost a 20-year relationship with some of these, a 5-year with others. And to be honest and say, this happened, I'm really sorry. I had to take a break. Everyone's, that's fine. Nothing bad happened to me and nothing bad happened to them. Do you know what I mean? It's, the fear was so much more than the reality. And I think because I was just honest rather than just saying, oh, I dropped the ball. No, I needed a break. I was really, you know, it was too much. Okay, no problem. Let me know when you're ready. How can we move forward now? And I feel blessed that I'd built enough relationships to and respect that it didn't negatively affect me in a business sense. But yeah, it was a very hard lesson last year.
I have to be honest that I think you telling that story and being so openly vulnerable on this podcast is really eye-opening for me, because I think a lot of people are going to be listening to this podcast that work in the affiliate marketing industry, and they are 110% going to be identifying with what you've just experienced. My call out to everybody listening to this podcast is, please don't let it affect your physical health. mental health is something that you don't see, and it's something that we don't talk about openly in our industry because we're meant to be strong. We're meant to be go-getters. We're meant to be, you know, chasing the competition. It's inherently part of the culture of being an affiliate program manager and actually doing the sales component of the job and the relationship management of the job. But it is not a requirement for you to lose your health and mental stability over. Like that is, you need to be, before you're getting to that point, you need to be spotting the signs. And that's really why I wanted to bring you guys onto this podcast today, because I speak to hundreds of affiliate managers that come through my coaching program. And every single one of them says that they feel stressed. And I don't know if C-level suite don't get to hear it, if it's just kept internally because they're worried about their career development. Like I really, if you're listening to this podcast today, I really want you guys to open yourselves up and talk openly within your teams about what's really going on behind the scenes in the terms of managing the levels of stress that come through in this particular job. It is a complex industry. It's a complex role to fill within the digital marketing team. But Emily, I want to get over to you now because, I mean, apart from being shocked by what you've shared here, Clay, and the fact that you had like serious physical ailments that impacted you running your business, what are these frameworks that people can be aware of and start to implement in their teams so that something like that, what happened to Clay, doesn't happen? Because one, I think there's a pandemic that we are losing people because this industry is so stressful and it doesn't turn off.
Yeah.
And two, we're bringing young people into the industry that don't maybe have the skills to actually self-manage themselves and go, enough's enough, I need to take a break, I need to do this, because they're trying to grow their career, they're trying to prove their worth within a highly competitive environment. So let's talk a little bit about that framework and let's educate people on how they can kind of at least take the first initial steps to self-moderate whatever they might be going through in this kind of stressful environment that we work in.
So, you know, what we're really hearing and, you know, what I'm hearing you guys say at a deeper level and, you know, one of our core beliefs is that emotional intelligence really is a superpower because we're talking about being brutally honest with ourselves about where we are actually at mentally, physically, and emotionally. So if we are simply just, you know, showing up every day and going, you know, with the motions and, you know, doing what we need to do without also checking in with where am I? That is what will lead you down the road to those physical ailments. We're not saying or suggesting that you shouldn't work hard. We're not, you know, saying or suggesting that, you know, you shouldn't strive to be the very best at what you do. What we are suggesting for individuals, for teams, and especially for leaders to keep their eye on their teams is to have your pulse on the status of your team, on the energy of your team, regardless of the output. You know, the deeper conversation here is we're talking about people's individual self-esteem, self-worth, and the way they value themselves. And unfortunately, we live in a world that has conditioned us to believe that our value and our worth is determined on our output. And this is the narrative we need to change inside of business, because a place where people come to work should be the opportunity they have in their life to express their brilliance and their genius in the world. And nobody is doing that if they're laid up on their...
I want to just go into this, because we're talking to, you know, digital marketers, affiliate managers on the brand side. But guys, can I also just say that this also applies to you and the partners that you work with? Because I see a lot of affiliate managers in transactional selling. They're just, you know, how much traffic can you get me? How much do you want to the CPA? Let's get a deal done. Let's do it. You don't know that the affiliate that you're speaking to, the entrepreneur that you're speaking to on the other side of the phone isn't also in the same boat as you, feeling stressed, maybe being burnt out in terms of running their business. So this framework that you're going to go into now, I want you to think about it for yourselves, but I also want you to think about learning it so you can impact your affiliates with it too, because it works both ways.
We're going to take you guys through an assessment. So, you know, if you're driving, listening to this, please do not participate in this part of the podcast. But if you have the opportunity to get out a pen and paper or a notes in your phone, something where you can just jot down the answers to some questions, we're going to give you an opportunity to do a self-assessment on your level of stress. And so the reason that we're doing this again is to cultivate, you know, your own self-awareness, but that you could also do something like this with your team or in your one-on-ones. And I just want to say, you know, we just started our inaugural leadership program. And one of the modules that we teach is saying no like a leader. And when we think about people, especially probably in the affiliate management space, and if you're first starting out, maybe this is your, you know, first or second, third job in your career, you have this pressure that you need to say yes to everything. And what the skill that we want to help people, that we want to evoke in people, is when you think about an organization hiring a C-suite or a VP or someone in a senior leadership role, their ability to counter offer an ask or to redesign a deliverable so that it works for both parties, their ability to say no if something doesn't make sense, or, you know, push back and create that clarity, that's an incredible skill that all senior leaders need. So what we want to do for people that are entry-level position or close to is expedite what that discernment looks like in whether or not they say yes, no, or counter offer. So that's really where we're getting to in cultivating this awareness. And again, you can do this as an individual. You can do this with your team. So hopefully you've got your pen and paper ready. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions, which you're going to give a score from 1 to 5. 1 being that you never or almost never experience this. 2 being that you seldom or to a low degree experience this. 3 that you sometimes or somewhat experience it. 4 you experience this often or to a high degree. 5 would mean that you're always experiencing this or to a very high degree. So I'm simply going to read a statement and you're again going to give your own score on a scale of 1 to 5.
Let's do it. I'm going to do it with you while you're doing it.
Please do. All right. How often do you feel tired? 1 being never or almost never, and 5 being always or to a very high degree. 2, how often do you feel physically exhausted? 3, how often are you emotionally exhausted? 4, are you exhausted in the morning at the thought of another day of work? 5, how often do you feel worn out? 6, how often does your work frustrate you? And the last question is, do you wonder how much longer you can keep up at this pace? So after you've answered all of those, I want you to tally your score. Simply just add all of those.
I've tallied up mine.
All right. So you don't need to disclose where you're at, but here are the results. If you score 7 to 9, there are likely no appreciable signs of burnout in your life. If you scored a 10 to a 15, this is manageable stress with occasional risk of burnout. A score of 622 means there's moderate risk. 23 to 29, you're at a high risk of burnout. And 30 to 35, symptoms of burnout are likely already present.
So since we've been vulnerable, I'm going to share with everybody that's listening to this podcast. I'm currently today, I might be different next week, but I'm currently today at a score of 23 as an independent business owner. And I know that I'm feeling high risk of burnout because we've had a very busy start to this year. So I know that I'm feeling burnt out. And I was looking forward to this to actually validate the fact that I am burnt out and your scores are 100% correct. Like for me, they were 100% correct. So it's really great 5-minute burnout risk assessment that guys can take away from this podcast and, you know, plug it into your team or even ask your affiliates these questions. Like, where are you right now? Are you in the right state of mind to make a really great commercial decision with us right now or to take on a new campaign for us right now? Are you likely to deliver what's happening in your life? That's how you can kind of elevate the emotional relationship building that you do as an affiliate manager by being cognizant of the human that's behind the screen.
That's really what this work is about. It's about bringing a little humanity back to the workplace. And when we refer to it or when we look at it through the lens of those zones below that we talked about earlier, we want to cultivate environments where our team are operating in their zone of excellence and their zone of genius. They're going to be more fulfilled. We're going to have greater output. And there'll be a buffer with that level of stress and burnout. And they're in the right roles, doing the right activities where they enjoy what they're doing.
Wow. What an eye-opening episode that was. Having gone through the assessment there live for you, it has really made me realize how, as affiliate program marketers, we tend to push ourselves to the limit and we don't often really think about the consequences of this fast-paced working lifestyle. We've just had the most thorough session on burnout and spotting the signs in this week's episode. But Emily, Claire, and I went on to provide some initial frameworks and tools in the latter part of this episode. And so much so that I decided to release this as a two-parter because it was just too good to let the editing team cut anything out. So tune in again next week where the three of us will continue this conversation and give you guys the tools and frameworks that you can use to manage yourself, your team, and your partners in this very next episode, helping you to mitigate burnout and stress management in affiliate marketing. Thank you all so much for listening and joining me again. And join me again next week for part two of this series as we interview Claire and Emily next week.
Want to get your affiliate program noticed? Need new business leads for your agency, network, or SaaS tools? We can help your business get seen and heard. Affiverse offers a variety of advertising and podcast advertising placements, reaching tens of thousands of digital and affiliate marketers around the world. Our content receives over 800,000 impressions a month and is highly targeted. Our podcast regularly charts in the top 100 across Apple in business news and boasts the most five-star reviews for an affiliate marketing podcast with more than 2,500 plus downloads per episode, putting us in the top 5% of podcasts worldwide. We help brands and affiliate partners connect and grow. Agencies share case studies, insights, and help them find new clients too. SaaS companies find new companies and new leads. Networks find new advertisers and publishers. Advertise with us and you'll find and connect to all the right people in the affiliate marketing industry. Download our media pack by visiting our site, affiversemedia.com, and click advertise to find out more. That's a wrap for this week's Affiliate Marketing Podcast. If you're loving what we're putting down, why not head over to Apple iTunes and give us a 5-star review? Make sure to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel so you never miss another insightful episode or one of our free webinars ever again. Tune in next week for more digital affiliate marketing insights, trends, tips, and content to keep your affiliate and performance marketing fresh and your partners driving consistent sales.